didn't think about setting this up at the break. That would have been nice. Oh. That would not have been nice. Is that all I do? Is that right there? Okay. Okay. I mean, it's not going to pop up like it did on you, remember? It's like set. Man. Sorry, Walker. Okay. Just going to leave him like this for just a second, okay? Do I have that right? Okay. Y'all can see it. All right. Okay, well, you know who your friends are. Dana and I were sitting there, and the ladies for the testimonies were coming up here, and she's like, gal, she's like, I'm so glad I spoke before them. Good luck. Hope it goes well for you, you know. That's my friend. So, and I appreciate those testimonies so very much, and I know that it is hard to stand up and speak, and it's hard to give a testimony when you're recalling something that's happened to you that you just want to leave in the past. You just want to leave it there and move on. But so many times God tells us to look back and look on the goodness of God and how he's brought us through stuff, because that's how we learn that, hey, God is good. He was good there, and he's going to be good over here as well. And so it's good to do that. So I appreciate that. I know it was hard for some of you, or for all of you actually, but I just want to say thank you for giving your testimony today. It's been a great retreat. Robin and I were heading here this morning, and she's like, well, it's almost over. You know, last night, she's like, it was an hour and a half. Today is going to be longer, but it's going to be over just like that. But I do want to thank the ladies of Berean and the men who have put in a lot of time and a lot of prayer. And I hope that you'll do the same when you go through, you know, lunch today and we're like, woo, we get to eat. Be sure and thank the ladies, thank the men that are serving. It is a blessing. It's a lot of work that goes into it. So thank you very much for those who sang and for those who were in the skit that made me cry and for the puzzle. Brother Lance, you did a great job on that. We're like nothing like a perfectionist trying to put together a puzzle piece in front of 200 ladies. He's like, it's gonna fit, you know. You know, the thing and the tape on the back, you did good. I'm just saying, that was awesome. And it's even up. It's not like you have something to stabilize yourself. I'm like, just don't fall through that picture. That's all I could think of. Oh, but anyway, we serve a mighty God, and he is worthy of all the glory and honor and praise that we can give him through our lives and through our churches and just through the pieces that he brings into our life. So last night, I know y'all are hungry, so I mean, we're going to get there, but just calm your little belly. I always say, honey, I got a rumbly in my tumbly. I can't help it. I'm hungry, you know. And if you're hungry too long, then you're hangry, and then nothing ever works out. After that, you're like, just give me food. So anyway, last night, we talked about grace as undeserved favor, as well as grace as our power for living, especially as it pertains to, you know, difficult pieces in our life. God's grace is a spiritual benefit that we cannot afford to live without. We need the grace of God. But another spiritual benefit that God gives us is hope by way of our faith. And I think the ladies in their testimonies, if you listened closely, they all made it through what they went through because of the hope that they found in the grace of God. And that's kind of where we're going to go today. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful, God, to be here today. I'm very thankful for the opportunity and privilege it is to stand here and to proclaim the Word of God as best I can, Lord. I pray that you'd use me just as a vessel, any one of these ladies, Lord, and many have already stood up here and just said the things that you've laid on their heart, just to help other ladies go through what they're going through, Lord, just to see that we all have things then in our lives, Lord, that you give us that are difficult, but when our eyes are focused upon you, God, we can get through anything because nothing is impossible with you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you would just be with this time. You'd settle my nerves and help me to be clear in my speech and to say only that which you would have me to say. Lord, work in the lives of these ladies. I pray the Holy Spirit would have freedom to work and move as you see fit in each of our lives, that we might draw closer to you, that we might learn from you and of you today. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Well, Dana was walking all over my lesson at the end, and I'm thinking, girl, I will tackle you. Don't you go there. No, I'm just kidding. I looked ahead in your notes because, you know, you showed me the whole picture. So I was like, oh, she's fine. But anyway, so, but to turn to Hebrews 11:1, okay? And I love, you know, I love how God does that. You know, especially when there's several ladies speaking and giving their testimony. You just don't know, we don't know the whole picture, but God saw ahead and He saw that Dana spoke on being essential because He knew that I had no clue about that. I'm like, what? We're all essential? Oh, yeah, that's a great idea, you know. I mean, God didn't take my brain that way. He took another way. And then the ladies giving their testimonies. But God, who works all things together and brings all the pieces together and connects them, we serve the same God. We pray to the same God. We ask the same God to help us know what to do and know what to speak on. And He always just kind of molds that together. So He's a good God. Well, Hebrews 11, as was stated, is a well-known and widely recognized passage of Scripture in the Bible, especially to Christians, and we know it as the Hall of Faith. And verse after verse describes a spiritual giant that pleased God by choosing to act by faith. We're going to read verse 1 out loud together. I love hearing God's word spoken by not just myself. If I listen to myself, I'm like, boring, but you know, I like to hear you speak, and that encourages me. And so let's read verse 1 together out loud. Okay, you ready? So Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This verse precedes the bios that she kind of went over, a few of the ladies, but it precedes the bios of men and women in the Bible and in this chapter. For a reason, because it's going to help us understand how and why they made it into this Hall of Faith. Again, they're nothing special. It could have been you in this passage. It could have been the man down the street, whatever. It could have been any one of us. But these in particular, God put here for a reason. And in defining the kind of faith we are to have, Paul says that it is to be faith that has hope. Okay, faith that has hope. In other words, it is the object that we have our faith in that will determine the certainty of our hope. Think about that for just a second. I'm going to repeat it. It is the object that we have our faith in that will determine the certainty of our hope. Here in Hebrews 11, we will clearly see who the object of their faith was. We're going to just look at a few quickly. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto whom? God, a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Drop down to verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased who? God. The object of his faith also was God. Look down and in verse 11, and I also picked out a woman in this because I'm like, hey, we're women. Let's go there. So verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged who? Him. Who's him? God. Him faithful who had promised. So the object of all of their faith, if you read through the entire passage, the object of all of their faith in this passage was God. And in what did their hope lie? Verse 13 tells us. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That's hope. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Their only hope was in the promises of God. God's promises are designed to inspire hope. That's how this all works out. That's why the ladies made it through what they made it through, because through God's word, they see, hey, there's hope. Christ can get me through this. Christ can help me through this. So last night and today, several of you are like, what happened to your grandson? What happened to Walker? Well, I'm going to share it. Yesterday was yesterday. Today's today. So I told some people, I'm like, it's like Paul Harvey. And now you have the rest of the story. So of course, this was Walker. This was our reality for the first week of his life, especially for the first 3 days during his cooling process. You know, And you know, it's difficult to see, and several of you came up to me and told testimonies of things you've gone through with your children, and even you know, babies that have passed, that God saw fit, that only puzzle piece for them was to be born, and that was it, and God took them home. And I'm sorry for that, and I don't understand. You know, we don't always get to understand those difficult things, but we have to trust in the one who gave them to us and the one who takes them away, that God's in control. God loves me. God loves them. And they had a plan and purpose for every life. So I'm thankful to know that's true. It's just, that's true. That's what God says. We have to trust in that. So at the end of the cooling process, they were able to remove all the tubes. He had his oxygen on for a couple of more days as his oxygen levels, you know, were trying to balance out. And they ran some tests, and they wanted to do an MRI on his brain before they discharged him to see if there was any permanent brain damage. And so the neurologist spoke with our kids, and though they did not clear Walker of any future problems or suffering, because sometimes, you know, it may not, something may not come out or develop till they're about 2 or maybe 18 months, you know, could be hearing issues, it could be speech, it could be a motor skill, you know, we're not real sure. But they did tell us that there is some permanent brain damage in the center of his brain. And, you know, God in his grace, though, brought us hope through the words that the doctor began to speak. She told our kids that Walker is best case scenario for an HIE baby, of which I praise the Lord for. And he also said that at that time that Walker was in NICU, that he was now the least one in need of care. That they're like, you know, my daughter-in-law would walk around the halls and look in the NICU different units and the different babies, and she'd go back and she'd just weep and just praise the Lord, because she's like, you're right. My baby didn't have a thing on him anymore. He's breathing on his own. He's functioning on his own. And, you know, God was just so gracious to be there and to show her that as a new Christian, just that she can trust the Lord even with this precious new life that he's given her. And so it was the words that the doctor spoke that encouraged our hearts and gave us hope that we didn't have before. And it's been said that all miracles begin as problems. So picture number 2. Told you it was coming. Aww. I can't even speak when I look at him. This was our Walker on Monday, Labor Day. He was at at Papa and Grandma's house playing with his toys, and today is his birthday. I know, he's 1 today, and I'm not there, and my son has been rubbing it in my face. I'm telling you, I'm surprised I haven't gotten a text yet. You're not here, you know? So I'm like, no, we're coming to Grandma's house on Monday. We're going to swim in the pool, and we're going to have a party. We try to smash cake, but he doesn't. He's very funny. He doesn't. Texture things are weird. So they tried to smash his hand in this cake, and he was like, ah, you know, he did not like that. So I have all the ugly pictures of him. You know, cute ugly pictures, you know what I mean. And he doesn't like that. But, you know, he is truly our miracle baby. And as of right this minute, you know, we're not seeing anything abnormal. Because he's an HIE baby, and I don't understand all of this, but an occupational therapist is actually sent to their home like every month or something, and they assess him and they do different tests with him and motor skills with him and all of that. And they told Nina last week, they're like, you know, we're still coming, we're going to continue to come, but really we're not even sure why we're here, because he is just doing so great. He's meeting all the milestones. And I'm just saying, when you flip that over and see the mess, God sees the bigger picture. He sees where he was going to be in a year, and he's just so good. He's such a good God. And you know, not all of our puzzle pieces turn out this way, though, do they? I mean, you gave testimony to that, a few of you. Some of you came to me and gave testimony. Not all of them are going to turn out this way. But when they do, as I think one of the ladies said, we need to remember to praise the Lord for it, that he answers prayer, that we can trust him, and that through his word he can encourage our heart and help us through it. So it's the words of the doctor that really encouraged us, and their words can continue to inspire hope within us whenever they come and assess him and tell us, you know, how good he's doing. But you know what? We have an adversary. Boy, we have a stinking adversary. Satan would have our difficult puzzle pieces target our hope and try to move us to despair. And I'd be lying to you if I stood up here and said, I wasn't going that way. When it was the other side of that picture, and Walker, I was fine. No, I was heading there. You know, Satan was there reminding me, look, he's in such bad condition. He's not doing well. He's going to stop breathing. We're going to lose him. I remember one moment, my mama called. I couldn't even talk to her. I'm like, honey, I'm just bawling. I couldn't console myself. And I just, you know, I had to get alone with the Lord and just say, Lord, you gotta straighten me up. You know when you need a whipping, right? When you go to God, okay, Lord, I need you to whip me right now because I know I'm heading down the wrong path. But hope is so important for us. And in order for our hope to remain steady and to keep us moving forward, no matter what comes our way, we must be women who are grounded in the faith and persuaded of the promises of God. We have to know that we know. I have a couple of definitions of hope to consider. Here's the definition from an ordinary dictionary that I'm just going to say it's a worldview, okay? It's a worldview definition of hope. In the ordinary dictionary, it defines hope as this. Hope is a feeling of expectation, a desire or wish for a certain thing to happen. Okay. The Bible definition from 1828 Webster's Dictionary, I love that dictionary, defines hope this way. Hope is an expectation with certainty that God will do what he has said. Did you catch the difference? There's a big one. The worldview definition uses the keywords like feeling and wish and desire, which is saying that our hope relies solely upon our emotions and feelings. And that's not true. You know, that's not true. They want us to believe that however we feel about something, that's what it is. It's kind of like, oh, it's a hope-so hope. Do you have hope? I hope so, you know. And it's one that comes with reservations and a lack of... Shannon, it just came to me. We'll talk about that later. I hope so. Oh, that's so funny. Your husband said that one time. I remember that to my husband. That's so funny. Okay, I was not thinking of him at this until I saw your face and you're smiling like, her. Okay, sorry. That was a little side note we had. Sorry. Squirrel. Okay, focus. All right, so. Okay, I hope so. All right, so that comes with reservations. The worldview definition comes with reservations. It's all about feelings, emotions. Okay, but the Bible definition uses the keyword certainty. Again, let me give you that definition. Hope is an expectation with certainty that God will do what he has said. So it uses the keyword certainty, meaning that hope is a reality. As real as you are here today in this room, if you know that you're here, say amen. Okay, just making sure. You know, it's a reality. It's for sure. It's certain. It's a no-so hope. It's an absolute hope. So again, the object of our faith determines the certainty of our hope. Here in our passage, we read that the object of the people's faith here was in God's promises there in verse 13. Ladies, if God's promises are designed to inspire hope in us, and our faith is dependent upon where we place our hope, don't you think it's a good idea then to know the promises of God? And where are the promises of God to be found? You can stop. You can talk to me. It's okay. In God's word. It's right here. It's right here in the Bible. Turn to Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 4. Okay, Romans 15, verse 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written, read those next three words, for our learning, that we through patience, meaning it's going to take time, and comfort of the what? Scriptures, which is God's promises, might have hope. So for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So ladies, learning God's word, which increases our faith, will bring you and I hope. And hope is what keeps our faith in God moving forward. I recently heard this statement from, I was at a retreat in Phoenix, and the pastor's wife that spoke said the statement, and it has stuck with me so clearly. She says, you steer where you stare. Okay? You steer where you stare. So think of your puzzle piece right now, that difficult piece. Where are you staring with that? What's your focus on? Who is your focus on? Is your focus on yourself and your feelings and how you are doing and, you know, well, what do I feel like? Or is your focus on, it's so painful, you know, I don't like this. What are you staring at? The world will tell you to focus on yourself. The world will tell you to follow your heart. The world will tell you do what makes you feel good. But the world's hope has been placed in science, in doctors, in scholars, in education, in self-entitlement, in self-identification, in self-preservation, in self-care, in having choices, in tolerance, in world leaders, and our world's in a mess. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't take care of yourself, you shouldn't eat, you shouldn't drink water, whatever, you shouldn't. I'm not saying that we need to take care of ourselves, take care of our bodies. I get that. But our self should not be the focus. Our focus, our object of the faith isn't on me, isn't on me getting through it, isn't on me just, I'm just going to, not summons up, that sounds demonic. I'm just going to, what is it called? I'm just going to, come on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just going to gird up my loins myself and I'm going to do it. You know, I can tackle this, but as Pam Marshall will say, we're just going to pull up our big girl panties on and deal with it, you know. I love her. I don't know where that came from. That wasn't in the notes. Sorry. Anyway, but if we just rely on ourselves, we're going to fail. We're going to falter. We're just going to be a mess. We're going to make a mess out of this puzzle, this big picture that God is trying to put together. The unfortunate part about all of the world's beliefs is that there's been all too many Christians in your churches and in mine having the same hope as this world has, hope that relies on their emotions and feelings instead of upon the certainty of the Word of God. Why is this happening? I believe it's due to the lack of Christians who are truly, truly spending time in God's Word every day. I mean, they're Christians who are carving out time to say, you know what, I need God. I have, even if it's nothing, but I got to get up and rise and shine today. I was asking a few ladies earlier, are you awake, alive, alert? And they're like, you know, like, oh, you had fun. I told everyone, I said, you know, the only bummer thing about being the speaker is you're not with a group of ladies in a hotel room partying all night. You know, that's my thing. I'm like, did you do any tricks? Did you do any pranks? There you go. No, I was like, boring, you know, where's the pranks, you know, that's why I didn't stay in a hotel last night. No one would respect me today, so no, I'm just kidding, but anyway, so we need to spend time in the Word of God. Again, Hebrews 11:13, they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them. What's the them? The promises of God. They embraced them. What's the them? The promises of God. We have to be persuaded of God's word, and we have to embrace God's word, and then we have to confess that, Lord, the reason that I have any hope is because of you. And you know what? This world is not my home. We're just the passing through, right? Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and that's what they says. They confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. You know, this is just a small part of the totality of what our life is. You know, this life is but a vapor. My husband does this message where he takes this long cord that goes from one corner almost to the other corner, and he took a little red thread and wrapped it around that cord, and he's like, see this little red thread? And everyone's like, no. He's like, well, this little red thread represents our life in view of all eternity, and that rope could just keep going forever and ever. It's just a little blip, but you know what? That little blip, it's going to matter when we stand right here before the judge and before the King of Kings, and he tries our works. It's going to matter when we stand before the Lord and give an account for all the things that we've done. And so it does matter how we live today. Just for kicks and giggles, I decided to look up a survey. I know that's scary, but I decided to look up a survey about Bible reading in Christian circles, and I was astounded. I found one entitled Bible Readership in the U.S., 2018 to 2021. I'm like, who does these? But anyway, here's what it stated. A survey from 2021 found that 11% 70% of Americans, not even Christians, so it's everyone, 11% of Americans read the Bible daily. Trends in reading habits over 4 years showed that the majority of Americans never read the Bible, which resulted in 29% of those who responded. Bible readership varies across each demographic, with millennials most likely to have never read the Bible. These are our younger adults. These are my kids. You know, and I'm just going to, let me just pause here. Someone talked about earlier, I think it was Miss Dana, you know, praying with your kids and for them. You know, we do Bible devotions every night. I mean, if my husband hasn't already gone to bed, or, you know, because of not feeling well or something came up, you know, we're in the front room, we're doing Bible devotions with our kids. And one of the first things we ask our kids is, have you done your devotions today? Well, aren't you doing family devotions? Yeah, but that's all of us. You know, we have a personal walk with the Lord. You know, we want to teach our kids to have a personal walk with the Lord so that when they leave our home, they have a relationship with God themselves, not a relationship through mom and dad, but a relationship that, hey, when a puzzle piece is given to them and they're 20 years old out on their own, that they're going to know what to do with it, that they're going to be able to take that to the Lord and say, God, I need you. I need your help. Just like I saw in my mom and daddy. I want to do what they did. It's important that we live our lives in a manner that shows our kids and our grandkids how to live. So I'll move on. Millennials most likely to have never read the Bible, whereas the most frequent readers were those aged over 70 years old. So that means the most frequent are over 70 and only 11% read. What's happening? What's going to happen to our younger generation? Even my generation, what's going to happen? Looking at the preferences of the older readers, traditional books were favored, with 91% opting for a print version of the Bible to read over other formats. Praise the Lord. You know what? I use my iPad for speaking. I do, and sometimes I'll Google or go to my Bible app for stuff. But you know what I read every day? This right here, the Bible. You know, the pages. I love the pages of the Bible. I have tears on my Bible. I'm sure somewhere in here I have slobber smudges, you know, from my Bible. You know, I'm not trying to be weird or anything, but there are days when I'm reading God's Word and I just rub the pages and I'm like, God, I'm so thankful. They are so precious to me. And I'm thankful that He's taught me that through many of the valleys of life, many of the hard pieces of puzzles God has taught me. You know, even as a young pastor's wife in Florida for 16 years, I look back on that and I'm so ashamed. I think, Lord, how was I any help to anyone whenever I wasn't even doing what I should have been doing every day, you know, with littles running around. We were talking about that the other day, Miss Rob and I. You have to carve out time. I don't care if it's at midnight when the last little, you know, little person goes to sleep. You got to carve out time to spend some time in God's Word and read. It is your hope. It is what's going to get you through every stage and every season of your life and everything that comes into your life. You have to be in God's Word. So praise the Lord. There's nothing more precious than an actual copy of the Scriptures to hold and to comb through. It goes on to say, although figures show that fewer people are reading the Bible, listen to these keywords, there is still a genuine desire to read the Bible amongst the American population, with 56% of those asked in 2019 expressing a wish to read it. Changes in attitudes have not been drastic, but rather it seems that this engagement with the Christian scripture has been a gradual process. Isn't that astounding and convicting at the same time? Ladies, if you and I are going to have any certainty of hope when God lays down a difficult puzzle piece in our life, we must be readers and doers of God's Word. In John 6, when many of Jesus' apostles and disciples were leaving the faith because it was getting too hot in the kitchen, so to speak, Jesus asked his 12 disciples, "Will ye also go away?" To which Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Where else are you going to turn? There's no hope anywhere else. It's not going to be found on the television. It's not going to be found in a counseling office of a worldly person. It's not going to be found with your friend who's unsaved or your children who aren't walking with the Lord. It's only going to be found in the words of God, because he alone has the words of eternal life. The word of God is precious. We need to learn it, we need to live it, and we need to love it. We need to learn from its pages, we need to live it out in our lives, and we need to love it wholeheartedly. Paul encouraged the church members at Colossae in Colossians 1:23. He says, "Continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." Don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel by looking at everything but Jesus. She mentioned the verse earlier. I think it's Hebrews. I didn't write it down, but in Hebrews says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." He's the one. He's the one that's writing our story. He's the one that sees the bigger picture. We have to trust in him. As our world grows darker, it may be that our life's puzzle pieces get harder and even more strange. We don't know what's coming around the corner. She mentioned it. 2020 changed a lot of things and changed a lot of policies, and there's a lot more uprising and things that are totally contrary to God's word. And we don't know what's coming. But you know what? God sees. He sees the whole picture, and he knows what you need in your life. He knows the puzzle pieces he's going to give you, and he knows how to help you through it. But we have to be in God's word. We need more Christians reading God's word every day, applying its principles, trusting in its promises, and looking and living for the hope that is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. If you'll notice on any given jigsaw puzzle, usually no two pieces are alike. And no matter how hard you try, you can't force them to fit together if they're not meant to go together. And if you do, it really looks wonky, doesn't it? You're like, that's wonky, you know, it's awkward, you know. It doesn't work that way. It only works and is put together and fits properly when it's put together the way that the designer made them to fit together properly. So your puzzle pieces in life have been uniquely designed by God. There's a reason why your puzzle piece is the way it is. There's a reason why God gave it to you and not to me. And there's a reason why God gave me my puzzle pieces to me and not to you. Because God has a plan and a purpose for how it is to fit in your life. It could easily be said that God's grace is what makes your puzzle pieces fit together properly. And hope in his word is what keeps it all together. Let me close with these verses in 2 Corinthians 4. If you want to flip over there, 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. The Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." That's hope. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We need to be renewed day by day in the Spirit. And how are we going to do that? Right here. By looking into the pages of God's Word, by reading it, by loving it, by living it. And I just want to challenge you, if you struggle with that, you just need to give it to God, and you need to ask him. The Bible says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who upbraideth not, but giveth to all men liberally." If you need wisdom from God, it's going to be found here. And if you need help from God, the Bible tells us that he's our very present help in trouble. So you come to him, and you lay it on the altar, and you say, "God, I just need help." I know this is a simple message. You think, really, we're here just to hear about reading God's word? Yep. Because you know what? That's your hope. That's all our only hope. We need God's word in our life every day. So let's pray. God, I love you, and I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the attention of these sweet ladies. I thank you for the testimonies that we've heard this weekend, the lessons we've heard. And God, this is where we respond to you. This is a time where the Holy Spirit's worked in our life, in our heart. He's pointed out some things that we need to get right, or possibly there's one or more here that are not saved, that they still haven't accepted that puzzle piece of salvation that you offer to them. Lord, I ask that you would just convict them and also give them courage to step out and come forward and lay that on the altar tonight, Lord, and receive Christ as our Savior. And Lord, I pray for those of us in this room who are Christians, Lord, and Father, we're thankful to be saved, but Lord, we're just not living our lives daily like you would have us to, and things get messy, and we get frustrated, we get depressed, we get full of anxiety, Lord, when we don't trust in you, when we're not reading and praying. And Lord, I just ask that you would work in the hearts of those that just need that help, to that extra help from you, to get in your word every day, to carve out time, and to make time for this all-important, vitally important aspect of their Christian life, Lord, in order to grow and to stay moving forward in their faith, Lord. The object of their faith needs to be you and your word. So, Lord, help them to make the decisions that you would have them to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you'll go ahead and stand and turn to page 451. When we walk.